sinner, then there is hope for you and me, also sinners. Praise the Lord. And now Brother Rushaloo is on the clock.
There's a nice value to having a variety of short thoughts. Ours is quite different. We're going to be looking at a particular Greek word, and we'll disclose that word momentarily. But before we start, I do have to go on record. I do not claim to be a Greek scholar. And however, just as the pastor was very careful to point out the incredible importance of the word parousia or parousia, I think we too, even as novices, can glean incredible lessons through careful study of certain words. And we do think there are other words that occasionally require further investigation because translators have either intentionally or unwittingly translated Hebrew or Greek words into what we will describe as less than ideal English equivalents. Of course, Sheol and Hades are familiar examples to all of us, where translators obviously made biased interpretive decisions. So now to bar the expression that we sometimes hear, the dictionary word of the day, dia, D-I-A, the English translation of Strong's 1223. Dia is a commonly used Greek preposition. It appears 580 times in the New Testament, and in the vast majority of these instances, the translation of the word is what we'd say rather benign, because the proper understanding of the context in which this little preposition occurs is rather obvious. However, there are instances where the word dia could have been better translated. And there are two of those, there are two that we would like to briefly investigate. In both of these instances, a proper versus an improper translation does result in a very significant difference in thought or understanding. This prepositional word as used in Scripture is either in the genitive or the accusative case. The grammatical case proves to be extremely important. But just to give a sense of the wide latitude in which this small word is translated, we'll read some of the translations. First, for the genitive case of dia, after, among, at, by, because of, whereby, by occasion of, for, from, in, out of, through, throughout, with, within. And then the accusative case, because, by, because of, for, by reason of, through, with, and so on. I mean, so you can see this little word, my goodness, it goes all over the map. And there's even, I'll say, an overlap between the two cases, as you could hear that. So different translators and scholars treat the word considerably different. To quote from a Greek grammar website, quote, thus, in order to read Greek with comprehension, one must be able to know the lexical definition of the word, what it can mean in all possible roles, functions, and contexts. Two, clearly recognize and correctly identify its case form. Three, understand the specific grammatical role that the case is serving in its clause or sentence. And then finally, know the context. Know the context enough to be able to determine which specific function that case form is performing in that role and identify and know the implications of its specific function, the way in which it is used to express meaning in its specific grammatical role, end quote. Now, we think this last point really is the point to be emphasized, that is, to know the context. Thus, it's rather apparent, as you might imagine, that doctrinal beliefs can influence the translation where the context is not so simple. And we say this with a smile because even in this website, they went to great lengths to dance around the whole issue of the Trinity. So you find that bias is clearly a part of translation in our scriptures that we receive in English translations today. And things can easily go astray. Now for our two examples. The first example is found in our Lord's great prophecy, Matthew 24, verse 22. Matthew 24, 22, from the King James Version. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, this tiny prepositional word, dia, is translated here in the King James Version as the word for. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, to give you the what I'll call the Cliff Notes version of how the two different cases of dia would steer one's understanding of this passage in very different directions. Generally, translators associate the thoughts of by or through as if the agent or the instrument of means with the genitive case, or the thought of on account of as if to express the cause, occasion, or purpose with the accusative case. Now, the King James Version, along with many other translations, would lead the reader to believe that the days shall be shortened for the elect, the sake of the elect. Dia, in effect, being translated in the accusative case, rendering the thought that Jehovah shortens those days to spare the elect. This, we believe, and even the pastor suggests this, is not the correct thought. It is not the correct thought. Rather, dia should be thought of in the genitive case. In fact, our Lord, in this very same prophecy in the Luke account, counsels his disciples in chapter 21, verse 36, "Watch therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass." That is, the feet members, the faithful ones, should not even be here in the flesh to experience what's being described in the context of these verses. And also, it should be noted, many translations even omit the word sake. So sake, it's better to leave that out entirely as spurious. The Holman Christian Study Bible and the God's Word translations captured the thought a little bit more accurately, and they're a little bit more consistent with the genitive case. And first, I think we'll just read the Holman scripture. Matthew 24, 22, Holman Christian Study Bible. "Unless those days were limited, no one would survive, but those days will be limited because of the elect." Because of the elect. Well, even this translation, you know, how you think of because, can be maybe even a little misleading. So for more clarity, we could legitimately substitute the word because with the words by or through. So if you were to take such license, the passage could read, easily read, "Unless those days were limited, no one would survive, but those days will be limited by the elect." Limited by the elect. And this is consistent with how the pastor treats this particular verse. And of course, it's consistent even with Obadiah 21, which says, "And saviors," that is in the plural, "shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." It is by or through the elect, and not on their behalf, that the days will be shortened. The elect class will be the instrumentality for cutting short those days and thus ending Jacob's trouble by delivering Israel. Now for the second example, this one being a little more controversial. John 1:3. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." King James Version. Now, dia, in this instance, is translated in the genitive case with the word by. All things were made by him. The genitive case suggests that the Logos was the agent or the instrument of means with regard to creation. This may appear to be an open and shut case for those so minded, but we believe it's quite to the contrary. As expressed earlier, translators' beliefs invariably influence translations. Translators generally do not believe in the preexistence of Jesus as the Logos. Consequently, they're not even thinking of that as a possibility when translating Scripture. Generally, they are thinking of the Godhead, the triune deity, as the causal agent. In fact, this verse would pose a significant problem for them if it were translated in the accusative case, because it would introduce into the context someone else who would be the beneficiary of the Godhead. The accusative case, we believe, could be rendered more properly something like this: all things were made on account of him. All things that were made were on account of him. That is, for the Logos, for Jesus. And no existence came into being apart from him. And that's kind of taking the Moffat translation and using the accusative case for the word dia. So unfortunately, as it were for me, there are no translations, I'll say, that as a whole give this thought in its entirety. However, in the light of numerous other scriptures that would harmonize with this thought, versus maybe the five or so, including this verse, that have been the basis for what we might characterize as the traditional viewpoint, that may compose some sort of argument. But even with that, that could easily be narrowed down to maybe three. That would be an argument. But the accusative case, which we think is the proper use of the word, harmonizes easily with other scriptures, of which these are but a few. Genesis 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Doesn't say the Logos or the Word. In the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2:7 and 2:8. And the Lord God formed man. Not the Logos or the Word. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Then Genesis 2, verses 18 and 19. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. Genesis 2:21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he, that is God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And then Job 9:8. Which alone, speaking of Jehovah, spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Isaiah, how far? Do we have another 30 seconds? Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. This is Jehovah, capital Lord. And he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone. Stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Isaiah 45, 11 through 8, 11, 12, 13, and 18. This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker, concerning things to come. Do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands? Isaiah 45, 12. It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. Isaiah 48:13. Mine hand hath all laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together. Verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Of course, again, this is an easy one, not a problem, because by Jesus Christ is spurious. It's spurious, clearly spurious. So you read that verse in its correct form, it's, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which is from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things. Period. In conclusion, John 1:3. In John 1:3, we believe dia should be understood to mean on account of rather than by or through. And if this assertion were not correct, then the clear statements of alone, by myself, God himself, my hands, they couldn't be harmonized. There would be a contradiction there. So we do believe, the scriptures are very clear on this matter, and the three scriptures that might suggest otherwise, we believe there's a clear argument to contradict those. I think that's 2 minutes.
Brother Dan Wessel.
Those were all so good. So good. Our topic for the next 9